From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents an evening with Frank Lee and Allie Burbrink. Coming up on Red Barn Radio. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Lex Arts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. The Paducah Visitors Bureau, Paducah, Kentucky, a UNESCO creative city of crafts and folk art, connects you to your creativity. Visit online at paducah.travel.
Crazy, darling, I'm crazy about you. Standing on top of old Elkhorn Ridge, my true lover by my side.
Welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm Brad Becker, associate producer and host of Red Barn Radio, and I'm here to welcome you to Red Barn Radio with our 521st live performance. Tonight, Red Barn Radio welcomes Frank Lee and Allie Burbrink. Frank and Allie present traditional songs and tunes from the rural South. Frank is from Bryson City, North Carolina. He hammers banjos, slides guitars, saws, fiddles, and hoots his hollers. Allie is from Bargersville, Indiana. She plays a great guitar and also banjo and sings up a storm. What a pleasure and privilege it is to have with us on the Red Barn stage these talented players. Please welcome Frank Lee and Allie Burbrink.
Her I could compare.
difference if I crossed or the plane. And she said it makes no difference, so you return again. And she said that she'd prove true to me until I proved unkind. So I shook hands and parted with the girl I left behind. Well, I left old North Carolina to Maine, I did go. I went on to Johnson City, I'm gonna travel this wide world over. Where the working mind is so plentiful and the girls all treated me kind. But the only one who breaks my heart is the girl I left behind. Further, and I found that it was true. My heart was filled with sorrow, I didn't know what to do. My heart was filled with sorrow, my sorrow's on my mind. Well, I'll always drink and ramble for the girl I left behind.
Allie, I wondered if we might start with you. Tell us about you.
I live in Indiana. I live in Johnson County, just south of Indianapolis. And I've lived there all my life. I taught 7th grade English. And I was there for 7 years in the Center Grove School District up there. Same classroom, no windows, 12-year-old, 13-year-old squirming children. So yeah, I had a great time. No, it really had its benefits, of course.
What are those?
All the bright smiles and light bulbs that you see every day.
Were you trained as an educator and certified
yes.
in the state of Indiana? And
indeed. I went to a college, 4-year college, and got my English education degree.
So. Never did you have the intention to teach music?
Oh, no. That was a thought I had because I enjoyed music in high school and growing up. But to me, I always just thought that if you taught music, you had to play the piano really proficiently or play classical music. And so I didn't study music formally because, I don't know, I was always more of a folky kind of music person, but I didn't know you could study that in college.
Where did your folky self come from?
I think growing up, going to church and singing around campfires at church camp. In fact, I have a friend right here in the audience that I went to church camp with. It's really special. So that influenced me a lot. That's why I started playing guitar, too, is to be a camp counselor and enjoy sharing music that way.
Sing to the fallen eagle, helicopters fly. Chase him round the mountains, chase him till he dies. Well, they say that it's good sporting, shoot him on the wing. Above the roaring clatter, you can hear the rifles sing. His death song, it won't be long. His lamb, he's got a thousand others, he don't give a damn. Get up with the sunrise, everybody gather round. Get him with the first shot, he'll turn and bring you down.
So did you grow up playing a lot of sort of church, church kinds of folk tunes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kumbaya, you know.
The classic, of
and
course.
And so much more. My dad, you know, also, he was a big fan of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and still is. And so the Circle album was influential as well, listening to those things growing up a little bit here and there.
What instrument did you gravitate to first?
I think I was poking around on a guitar as early as 3 years old. There's a picture of me and my mom's guitar is laying flat on a table and I'm like smiling at the camera like I know what I'm doing.
Oh, nice.
But I'm playing it like you would, I don't know, something else,
dulcimer
or something, right. Yeah. And did some piano lessons, got into strumming on an auto harp at one point just because it was around. That was so great. My mom just had some random instruments around. I don't know what possessed her to do that, but it was great that she did because I would play with them.
And so at what point did you discover the banjo, and how did that happen?
Well, you know, my mom had a banjo laying around. I know, right? Of all things,
wow.
her father had given it to her for a Christmas gift when she was an adult, and she didn't know banjo music. She didn't listen to bluegrass. She was like, what do I do with this thing? I don't even know what it's supposed to sound like. Tried to take lessons, but it didn't take off for her, but she kept the banjo.
What in the world prompted him to give his
adult
childhood banjo?
Now, he had an organ in his house and played some organ, like pump organ.
Oh, yes, right.
And so she had done some of that, too. It's a mystery right
now. It's a great story.
I'll have to ask.
When we do the interview next time, it'd be great for you to find out.
I'll be more prepared.
What in the world made you give that banjo to mom in the first place? But thanks, but... Yeah. Was that the actual banjo that you first played then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And I didn't want to play the banjo until a friend showed me how he was learning clawhammer banjo. And that was a whole new sound to me. I hadn't identified that noise before, because when I had heard bluegrass banjo, that's just what I thought banjo was.
And bluegrass banjo didn't really hook you?
Not at first. I like it now. Mm. And I'd like to learn it. I'm working on it. So when I was introduced in a one-on-one situation by a friend to the clawhammer and then started hearing that more in the music that I was already poking into, Gillian Welsh and the Waylon Jennies, things like that have a little clawhammer in them. When I heard that, I thought, oh, that's that thing that my friend was teaching me about. So it just got me more and more interested. So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll take a spring break and go learn. I feel like if I'm going to learn this thing, I need to go to the mountains where it's from and like do it right as much as I can. So I took a spring break being a teacher. That's when I went to the John C. Campbell Folk School and took a class. Well, that's what jump-started my clawhammer experience.
Darling, will you marry me? I asked a maiden fair. Well, I turned my back upon her. When I looked, she wasn't there. She left me standing on a mountain. She left me standing way up there. Where the honeybees are buzzing round the flowers there, that is where she vanished, somewhere in that mountain air. She left me standing on a mountain. She left me standing way up there. If once more she'd appear, tell me that she cared a little for this mountaineer. She left me standing on a mountain. She left me standing way up there. She left me standing on a mountain. She left me standing way up there.
And I really don't know much about that school. Is that an entity of its own, or
is it
associated with a college? Or
no, it's a standalone. It's a folk school, which I think you know more about, Frank, but it's kind of Denmark originated.
It was a woman back in the 1930s, Olive Dane Campbell, that came and traveled around and collected folk songs, and she was a Dane. And so this school was set up there in the very western part of North Carolina based on the ideas of these Danish folk schools, and it's like a post high school education where people would go and learn trades or farming trades. For some reason or another, they were thinking that teaching kids to farm was something of interest in Western North Carolina, and they created this John C. Campbell Folk School. And they teach traditional arts there.
It's not just music.
No, you have they have classes in all kinds of things, basket weaving, blacksmithing, and it's for all ages, you know. So you'll have a lot of retired people that'll go, or a few people younger like me, but mostly it was older folks enjoying their
retirement. Is it sort of a prestigious place to go? Is it hard to get in?
No,
is it
it's expensive? A community opportunity for a worldwide community of people to show up there and
you
dance.
Pay.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So it,
we are in no way affiliated with the John C. Campbell Folk School.
No, this is not an endorsement.
Okay. Well, I was just curious.
It's a great resource, though.
I was just kind of curious about that. Yeah. Okay. So that's where you learned to do clawhammer.
Yes, it is. And then also after I'd done that for a while, and then I heard the Freight Hoppers at a festival, and we can talk more about that later. But when I saw that and heard Frank, then I ended up taking lessons from him too, because I thought, wow, he really knows. You know, he has a whole other approach and style. So yeah.
Make a little round. I met little Sadie and I shot her down. Went back home, got into bed, 44 smokeless under my head. I got up the next morning about 9:30. The coaches and the buggies all waiting in line. The pimps and the gamblers standing around. They're gonna carry little Sadie to her dirty ground. They overtook me in Jericho. Well, I was standing on the corner just to read the bill, and I stepped the sheriff from Thompsonville. Said, young man, ain't your name Brown? Remember the night you shot Sadie down? Sir, but my name is Lee, and I shot little Sadie in the first degree. First degree or the second degree? If you got any papers, just read them to me. So they took me downtown, dressed me in black, and put me on the train and started me back, all the way back to that Thomasville jail. Had nobody for to go my bail. And the jury took the stand. The judge had the papers in his right hand. 41 days, 41 nights, 41 years to wear the ball and strike.
Banjo's your principal instrument.
I'd say I play more guitar.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, right now. But I like to sit around and play banjo at home. But out publicly, I play more guitar.
And what are you doing with Pete Wernick's school?
Well, I just got started with that. I haven't even led a class yet. But Pete Wernick is a bluegrass banjo player. He has played with Hot Rise, which is a big bluegrass name, and a lot of other things. You have written books, DVDs, all sorts of stuff, instruction, very into instruction.
Homespun
videos, yeah. I think 2010, he started teaching jam camps, so he'll host a class, and people can come and bring their bluegrass instrument of choice that they're kind of still figuring out, and be with other people that are playing other different bluegrass instruments. So you can have a couple fiddles, a couple mandolins, a couple guitars, whatever, however big the class is, it varies. And so he has these principles and ways of teaching the bluegrass jam, so some etiquette things, and teaching you how to do a rudimentary solo, things like that. So I'm just tiptoeing into it, but I'm looking forward to teaching my first class, hopefully at the beginning of next year.
What are some points of etiquette you've learned in the bluegrass jam?
Ones that are
commonly violated.
One would be your backup. So in bluegrass, you tend to have backup and soloing when you're playing your instrument. So the backup is what you play most of the time when you're just doing the rhythm to support whoever's playing the solo or whoever's singing. And so that is something that gets overlooked, because if you're in a lesson such situation and you're just learning one-on-one from an instructor, they're going to most likely focus on the breaks and teaching you the lead, the melody, and how to do flashy, cool stuff. Whereas most of the time, you're going to be playing like do-chick, 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 or whatever your rhythm is. So your backup versus being louder for your solo.
Are there similar etiquette rules for old-time jams?
Well, I think so. And one thing would be, in the old-time circle, if you're in a jam, your main thing is to keep the pulse going, keep the groove going, and try to keep it simple. And then another thing would be focus on the melody and try to really just accentuate what the melody is of the tune that you're playing. That's what I've picked up anyway.
There must be other ones, because every time I'm at an old-time jam, I feel like people are looking at me. There must be some other rules that I don't know yet.
That's interesting, because the ones I've been in, they all just look at the ground. Nobody makes eye contact. They're like just in the zone, staring at the ground in some kind of trance. So it depends on your region, maybe.
Maybe so.
Whiskey out and they'll let you have a little wine. Most everybody gets stoned drunk and they must be drinking shine. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame. Well, they say the yellow corn makes the very best kind. Boy, you better go to making it up in bread and stop at drinking shine. Oh, God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame. Yeah, the men won't pay that honest debt and the bills get further behind. And they draw that money every week and they drink it all up in shine. Yeah, God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame. You better serve the Lord with all your might. Stop at drinking shine. Yeah, God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Oh, God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame. Preachers just spazzing members about drinking that old moonshine. They try to make love to every woman in me just to buy the drinking shine. Yeah, God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame. Yeah, God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. God don't like it, I know. Well, it's scandalous and a shame.
Driving over here, and you know, we passed Elkhorn Creek, and so we thought, well, we should really play Elkhorn Ridge, which we opened the set with at the beginning. And then we were thinking, what else could we do that's Kentucky? And so we came up with Cumberland Gap.
This one was recorded here in Kentucky by a fellow named Morgan Sexton, who was a banjo player. To the Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, walked all the way to the Cumberland Gap. When I grow up, I'm gonna buy me a farm, raise sweet taters just as long as my arm.
Long as my arm, long as my arm,
raise sweet taters just as long as my arm.
I saw an honest farmer and his back was bending low. Picking out his cotton, he couldn't hardly go. And he'd pile it up in rail pens until the merchants come. They might tax men his cotton, so he might pay them some. So it's goodbye, Bo Weevil, for you know you've earned my home. You know you've got my cotton, and the merchants got my corn. And I saw him in the summertime, was hot as it could be. Strolling through the harvest fields, sweat was running free. And he drew his cradle round him as he gripped the golden grain. And he drew forth his handkerchief and wiped the sweat again. So it's goodbye, Bo Weevil, for you know you've earned my home. You know you've got my cotton and the merchants got my corn. Well, I saw him and he grew weaker as he went up on the hill. He reached his little cabin and he sat upon the sill. And his wife knelt down beside him and her hair had all turned gray. Trust now in the Savior, we'll find a home someday. So it's goodbye, Bo Weevil, for you know you've earned my home. You know you've got my cotton and the merchants got my corn. Oh, the waves on the sea, how they roll. And the chilly winds, how they do blow. My own true love got drowned in the deep, and the ship never got to the shore. Oh, the first on the deck was the porter of the ship, and a rough-looking fellow was he. Said, I care no more for my wife and my child as I do for the fish in the sea. On the sea, how they roll, and the chilly winds, how they do blow.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with Frank Lee and Ali Burbrink. Recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Frank Lee and Ali Burbrink after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.